It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday, June 29th. I'm Ben Johnson. A few years back, a friend of mine asked me if I knew about Blue Apron. It's great, he said. You just get a box full of ingredients delivered, and it's basically everything you need to make dinner. Well, if you've been paying attention to food tech news, you know that that startup has grown quite a bit in recent years. Today, it's going public. And why not? Let he among us who has not wandered listlessly down the grocery store aisle and wondered if life was really worth living cast the first box of stone ground oats. But is Blue Apron really a tech company? And should it be treated as such by investors? Here to talk a little bit about all of that is Eric Gordon, professor at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Eric, thanks for talking with us.
Hello, Ben.
So let's talk Blue Apron. So far, the company has been valued as if it's a tech company. Do you think that's a good way to value it?
You know, I think it's going to end up being valued as a semi-tech company. It won't be valued as low as the grocery chains. They're valued at, you know, next to nothing. But I don't think it's going to get that great high-tech valuation because it's not really a high-tech company. It's a company that uses some technology to deliver meals.
Is there really a market for a service that saves you time by sending ingredients to your door, but still kind of takes your time to do the cooking itself?
You know, I suspect that there is some market for it, but probably not as colossal as the Blue Apron guys are hoping for.
Well, let's talk about what the Blue Apron people are hoping for. What do you think the company hopes to do once it goes public? Presumably, it's going to have more money to spend, and surely it will get that. What will it do with it, and why do you think it's going to be below the company's expectations?
It's going to use some of the money to pay off debt, but the important use of the money is going to be marketing. And one of the things we've learned in the offering statement is that Blue Apron has to do a lot of marketing. It seems as if it costs more and more to get each new customer.
Eric, you have used Blue Apron. What do you think is the core value of the company? What do you think is the real service that the company is giving to you? And do you think it's unique enough for the company to survive as a public company?
For this target market, a market of people that like to cook and like to clean up after they cook, I'm half of that market. I like to cook, not so much cleaning up. For that market, it does offer some convenience. The stuff comes pre-portioned. You've got the right amount of stuff. You don't get home and find that you've forgotten one of the ingredients. So I think there is a target market. The question for Blue Apron as a public company is, how big is that target market?
I guess we will find out. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Eric, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Ben.
Blue Apron, valued as a startup at $2 billion, will hit the New York Stock Exchange today. Most of the recent talk about Nintendo has been the company's new Switch console and games coming to that platform. But man, oh man, the NES Classic console was the cannot-get-for-ridiculous-amounts-of-money gift of last holiday season. Retro, cheap, small, and scarce. Now the company says it's got an $80 Super Nintendo Classic mini system coming in the fall. It'll have preloaded games like this. That would be Donkey Kong Country for the uninitiated. I loved that old bearded monkey cranking the phonograph at the beginning. Anyway, here to chat is Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET. Lindsay, did you see this coming?
I felt like there had to be something coming, right? It was just too messed up that last year Nintendo released this limited edition NES and everybody loved it and then couldn't get them. And then Nintendo was just like, shrug.
Yeah. Everybody loved it and nobody got it.
Nobody got it. So now you have a chance to not get the Super NES Classic Edition.
Why is Nintendo doing this in this way?
I have kind of a two-word answer for that. Doc Martens and chokers. So there is a retro aspect to it. There's a nostalgia aspect to it. But then also people who weren't old enough to buy their own gaming units in the 90s think it's cool because that's what's cool right now. It's just a lot of fun, and it's a way for Nintendo to continue to get its brand out there as a fun brand.
Can you tell me the Super Nintendo games that you were into and are looking forward to, maybe if you happen to get one of these?
I'm most excited about Super Mario Kart. I like driving games. Always like driving games. But there's a lot of Super Mario World stuff in here, too. There's Super Mario Kart, Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars. And
it's
then
big.
Yep. I'm less excited about this, but a lot of people are very excited about the one game in this set that actually is not from the original lineup.
Uh-huh.
Star Fox 2, which is the unreleased sequel to Star Fox.
There were like pictures on the internet this week of like the team that created it finally getting to celebrate it.
So awesome. So cool. I mean, they made this whole game, and then at the last minute, according to legend, Nintendo decided not to release Star Fox 2 in 1995 to, you know, much disappointment.
And since it's being released in the fall, it'll ruin the productivity of plenty of students and young adults.
And actually less young adults.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET. It's always nice to talk to you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ben.
And while we are talking classic video gaming, you might remember at the beginning of this week, we played you an audio quiz of Atari 2600 games, and I promised some props on our show for Twitter users who guessed the sounds correctly. Well, the answers were Pong, Joust, and Dig Dug in that order. Joust proved to be the toughest, but not for Twitter users Kyle Hendrickson, Michelle C. Funk, Epic TVs, Stephen Melton, Ali Ibrahim Zada Esquire, E. Fournier, Dan Porrick, A. Deutsch, Mary Lynn Kadri, Rao Chambeau, and Charles. And really all of you who guessed at this, y'all know your Atari. Props. Thanks for listening. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.